Are counsel prepared? Please begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. Members of the court, may it please the court, my name is Scott Shannon. I'm here today representing the appellants, Kent County Levy Court, Regional Planning Commission. Levy Court in this matter, on our interlocutory appeal from the Chancery Court's decision. I would at this time...
But before you get started on that, could you explain to the court how this matter is still something for the court to decide in light of a more recent ordinance that we just became aware of that was adopted a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, Your Honor, and thank you for that. May I reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal before I forget?
Certainly.
Thank you. This matter is of continuing relevance. We had applied and asked for expedited hearings so that the court could determine it before the expiration stated within the original moratorium ordinance, the January 16th ordinance, which is at issue here.
And that date is October 13th?
The original date, Your Honor, I believe was October 13th, yes, or would have been had that moratorium remained in effect. And under the guidance provided by the Chancery Court in its June 22nd decision overturning this first moratorium, the Levy Court introduced a new moratorium, presented it for hearing before the Regional Planning Commission, as the Chancery Court had directed was the procedure to be followed. There are, however, several questions which we believe...
Did the Planning Commission approve it?
The Planning Commission held public hearings. They recommended to the Levy Court that that moratorium ordinance be adopted with certain language changes.
And were those changes made?
And those changes were adopted by the Levy Court in its
and,
final
And order. The ordinance was adopted?
Yes, sir.
And the new ordinance, that is the one that's currently in effect, extends the moratorium until some date in April in 2008?
Well, that moratorium, the second moratorium ordinance that was enacted on August 21st,
correct, that
has its own life and its own 270 days. So it runs from August 21st, I believe, until April 21st or so.
Well, why isn't that second moratorium, I mean, a moratorium is a moratorium. Do you need to have layers of them?
We don't, Your Honor, but there are, we believe, several questions that it is appropriate for this court to address. It is an issue of first impression for this court as to not only the source of authority for a county government to enact a moratorium, but also the form which it must take.
Mr. Shannon.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is it not the case that the August 21st moratorium, the one that was recently enacted, supersedes the moratorium that is the subject of this appeal?
Supersedes, Your Honor? As of June 22nd, when Chancery Court issued its decision and order, there was no first moratorium. The Levy Court followed a different set of procedures.
Are the operative terms of the August 21st moratorium the same as the operative terms of the moratorium that's the subject of this appeal?
Yes, Your Honor, for all intents and purposes, yes.
So there has been a superseding effect of this later moratorium. That's the one that basically is operative now. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
And this later superseding moratorium doesn't have the procedural defect that you're complaining of on this appeal, correct?
It does not have the procedural defect on which Chancery Court determined that the first moratorium was invalid. That is correct, Your Honor. But we had presented to Chancery Court, and the Vice Chancellor acknowledged in his decision that there were a number of questions which had been presented, including the source of authority for the county government to enact a moratorium, which the Vice Chancellor did not, while he acknowledged within his opinion, he did not address, holding merely that the procedure to be followed was that called for within 4911.
Well, how is the county injured by the Vice Chancellor's ruling, given the second moratorium, which complies with his ruling and is in effect? If we reverse the Vice Chancellor, what does that matter? If we affirm the vice chancellor, what does that matter in terms of any application of upfront?
There remain issues within upfront's litigation, its challenge to the levy court's enactments before Chancery Court. As an example, one has to do with its priority, its attempt to submit an application while the moratorium was in effect. That issue is not before the court. How is it?
Mr. Shannon, I thought Justice Ridgely's question was how is your client entered?
Yes, Your Honor, and I'm trying to work my way around to that by considering what are the other factors, and I apologize if I'm taking too long to get there. With respect to this immediate litigation, how levy court would be injured, I don't know that the levy court would be, Your Honor, except that the questions which we believe Chancery Court did not address, which we've asked this court to address, leave open a challenge to the second moratorium ordinance.
So you're asking for an advisory opinion then?
Well, we're not, Your Honor, because we had presented these issues to Chancery Court for decision on the first moratorium, the source of authority. Not only the source of authority, but to a certain extent, the form which a moratorium should take.
Mr. Shannon, you have conceded properly, of course, that there is now, in effect, a moratorium that supersedes the moratorium order that you're appealing from.
Correct.
That the defect that was the basis of the lower court order no longer exists. And furthermore, that your client is not harmed, at least in any way that you can articulate, as a result of the second moratorium. My question to you is, why was this not brought to our attention? Why is it that we have to find out about it only moments before this argument was about to begin?
Your Honor, I apologize to the court. I did not consider, and I, again, accept full responsibility for that, that the levy court acting on Chancery Court's guidance to enact a second moratorium would have an impact on the issues which we have asked this court to take up, the statutory interpretation. The injury would not be immediate with respect to the upfront litigation or upfront's application, but we believe that Chancery Court's decision was an error. Now, the levy court had no, we requested a stay at the Chancery Court level and at this court level. Both applications for a stay were denied. The levy court deemed the circumstances to be sufficient to require it to have a moratorium.
Are you saying that the this new moratorium would be irrelevant to our analysis? Is that why you didn't? And actually, the question, I think, applies to both counsel. I mean, it doesn't appear that anybody brought it to our attention.
That it would be irrelevant? Your Honor, if the Chancery Court's decision was error as a matter of law in its statutory interpretation, then the effect of that decision being out there, directing how it is that a moratorium must be enacted, would have ongoing consequences for all three counties.
But what we have here is an expedited interlocutory appeal, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And the only issue that the trial court decided was the procedural issue, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So now that procedural issue has been superseded by action of your client, shouldn't this case be back in the trial court to reach those multiple issues, perhaps in this case or perhaps more appropriately in a subsequent case? But we have a real question, as you can see from the questions we're posing, we have a real question as to what is currently before this court that has not been mooted by action of your client.
To date, there has not been a challenge brought to the second moratorium ordinance. And while the second moratorium ordinance certainly goes to address the levy court's concerns, is stated in the ordinance itself that it needs to complete its comprehensive plan and take certain other actions, and it feels that it could not do so absent the moratorium. So while the levy court has acted in order to address that issue before it, again, we believe that the issues decided by Chancery Court are of a nature that warrant a ruling from this court as to whether or not it was decided appropriately. It would strike me as somewhat unseemly that the levy court, having had a significant action on its part, an ordinance that it enacted, nullified by operation of Chancery Court, to then proceed in good faith to try and achieve the same goals following the guidance which Chancery Court gave, would operate to moot the questions which have been raised and which we've asked the court to take up.
All right. Well, let me interrupt you here, because from the court's perspective, this is a very significant issue that was not before us until literally 5 minutes before we walked in here and found out about this ordinance. And what I would propose to do right now is to ask you to take your seat, and I'll stop the clock, so that we can have a few minutes to see opposing counsel's view on the question of mootness. And then I think we'll probably take a short recess to consider whether the court wants to proceed any further.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You have the benefit of having heard 10 minutes of questions and answers on the subject, but we would like you to address the question of why this matter should still be considered by the court.
Thank you, Justice Berger. I will attempt to do so. For the record, John Pardee from the law firm Prickett, Jones & Elliott, on behalf of the petitioner below and appellee, Upfront Enterprises, LLC. Joining me at the council table today are my associates, Ben Snyder and Glenn Dallas. Thank you for the opportunity to appear and present oral argument. May it please the court. I will turn directly, of course, to the question that Your Honor has asked. Is this matter even relevant at this point? Is it moot? I would respectfully submit that for a reason different than that offered by Mr. Shannon, the case is still germane, and that is, if the original moratorium ordinance that was adopted was invalid, then the applications which my client attempted to file on February 8th of 2007 during the pendency of the subsequently determined to be invalid ordinance would have been, we submit, accepted or should have been accepted. If this court were to determine that the Court of Chancery erred below and the moratorium ordinance was validly adopted, then I think the county would take the position, and perhaps rightly so, that those applications could not have been accepted because of the moratorium. So I think the answer to the question that Justice Ridgely asked, if we reverse, what does that mean? If you reverse, then my client's applications, which were filed on February 8th during the pendency of the moratorium, were properly rejected. If you affirm and the moratorium ordinance was invalidly adopted, then those applications should have been accepted, and that has bearing upon a vested rights claim that my client is pursuing in related action in the, still pending in the Court of Chancery.
Now, there was a retroactive ordinance dealing with the adequate public facilities.
That's correct, Your Honor. And
if that was valid, and I'm not expressing any view on that, if that was valid, was it retroactive to cover the applications that you just referred to?
Possibly and possibly not. That decision has yet to be determined conclusively by the Court of Chancery. The Court of Chancery has ruled on one narrow statutory grounds that the APFOs can be adopted retroactively. That was a challenge that we brought pursuant to Section 4959C of Title IX, and Vice Chancellor Noble just recently ruled that that claim did not prevail, and we have since filed attempting to file an interlocutory appeal on that question. But there are a number of other grounds that we assert why the APFOs cannot be applied retroactively, chiefly vested rights. And so
that issue necessarily is part of this case as well, which is before us on interlocutory appeal?
It could be. If this court
Well, don't you expect the county is going to say that if we sent it back?
Yes.
So that brings to the question, what is the value for addressing a slice of the current case as opposed to letting the vice chancellor address the whole thing?
Well, if this court were to affirm the decision below that this first moratorium ordinance was invalidly adopted, then my client's application would have gotten in on February 8, 2007, and it would be our position that the subsequent moratorium ordinance, which has been adopted, came after that, and so our application would be filed. And the moratoriums, both of them, do not preclude the processing of applications once they're filed. They simply preclude the filing of applications. So once you get in the door, you're free to move forward, and that's continuing to occur with applications that were filed prior to the moratorium. The importance is getting in that door, and if this first moratorium ordinance was invalid, then we're in the door and we can proceed forward. We would argue that the APFOs cannot be applied to us retroactively on the grounds of vested rights, and the Court of Chancery has not decided that issue yet.
Okay. Assuming that the APFO ordinance is retroactive and the Vice Chancellor does decide that, doesn't that render the issue of the validity of the first moratorium moot?
If he rules on all grounds that the APFOs, if he rules against us on all of our challenges to the APFOs and he concludes that for all reasons the APFOs can be applied retroactively, then yes.
Okay, so then the issue becomes then, was our acceptance of the interlocutory appeal improvidently granted?
At the time, I don't believe so because...
But, and today, looking at it now with what we know.
Correct. I'm not sure. I would submit that an affirmation of the Court of Chancery's decision below is not advisory. It speaks only to the procedures that applied to the original moratorium ordinance, and that helps my client's vested rights argument. I don't believe it has any bearing on the next moratorium ordinance because that was adopted pursuant to the procedures that we are challenging here. I think it would be advisory for this court to reverse and conclude that that ends the case. And I think under that circumstance, if you were to reverse and find that the first moratorium ordinance was not a ordinance that made a change in a zoning provision, then it would be appropriate to remand back to Chancery. But I do think getting an affirmation here...
If you win, that's okay. But if you're going to lose, then we shouldn't rule.
Correct, yes. I because I believe the issue is so narrow, it has to do, you don't even get to...
It's the same issue, but if we rule against you, it's an issue that the Court of Chancery should first hear?
I think it depends on the reason why you would rule against us. If you would rule against us for the reason that Mr. Shannon suggests...
Well, let me try to narrow it, Mr. Parody. The only issue before us on this appeal is whether or not there had to be a prior zoning commission hearing and approval or recommendation.
Correct.
Court of Chancery said there had to be, and therefore the moratorium was invalid. That issue appears to be moot in light of the August 21st moratorium.
Except for the value that an affirmation might have for my client's vested rights argument. Because, again, if the Court of Chancery was correct and the original moratorium was invalidly adopted, then it never existed, and my client's application would have been filed, and an affirmation here means that we would be in the system, and we would have an opportunity to move forward, and I don't think that's advisory at all.
Well, the Vice Chancellor has already determined that, at least in part, that you're in the system without yet addressing the APFO issue, right?
I don't know if he's decided that we are that our application should have been filed. I think all he has said is that the original moratorium ordinance was invalid and that could not be a reason for preventing the application from being filed.
Okay, so why should we address that if he has not?
I don't think we're asking you to address that. I think we're asking you to simply address the narrow question whether the original moratorium ordinance was validly adopted or not, not what the consequence of that is. I think he has to decide what the consequence.
He's decided that. That is the vice chancellor. If we don't decide it, you win. That is, your vested rights, your client's vested rights, are what they are. They're not impaired. Isn't that correct? So how would it not be anything but an advisory opinion as far as your client is concerned?
I think it's only advisory if you make the decision on the basis of where the authority comes from, because that was a question that the court did not decide.
But we're supposed to decide it on this appeal?
No. No, I don't think so. I think the only issue before you is the narrow question whether or not this particular ordinance was required to be adopted in accordance with those procedures, not whether the county has the authority to adopt moratoria in the abstract and where that authority comes from. I think it, for purposes of this argument, it doesn't matter. The vice chancellor decided whether that authority comes from the police powers in Chapter 41 or the zoning powers in Chapter 49. You still have to comply with 4911. And that's the only question before you.
Okay. Thank you. What we are going to do is take a very brief recess to consider whether we should continue with the substantive portion of the argument in light of this development. And we hope it'll only be a few minutes, and then we'll resume. Thank you. The court has considered this matter in chambers, and we have determined on the basis of the enactment of Ordinance 07-24 that became effective on August 21st of this year that we now are refusing the interlocutory appeal as having been improvidently granted, and an order to that effect will follow. And my only other comment, which the entire court shares with me, is that this is the type of matter that both counsel should have immediately notified the court about. It's been 2.5-3 weeks since this ordinance was adopted. It directly impacts this appeal, even if you wanted to argue, as you did today, that it should not moot the appeal. It certainly has a bearing on it and is the kind of information that the court should have been advised of by counsel and should not have had to discover on its own. In any event, the appeal is dismissed, and we'll stand in recess.
Thank you.